Well, we made it. Here we are, the first Sunday of 2021. And for many of us, it feels like an accomplishment, or at least a milestone. It has been a rough year for so many of us, and we aren't out of the woods yet. But at least we're here. We're 2021. It's a new year. I've paid extra attention this season to the Christmas hymns and our Christmas carols. Many of them seem like they could have been written just for us this year. Here are the words of some of the songs we have recently sung together. Just today, from It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way, with painful steps and slow. Look now, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Brett just sang, from the nations that long in darkness walked, nations that long in darkness walked have seen the glorious light. And last week we sung, O Holy Night, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, our weakness is no stranger. Light and life to all he brings. The words of these old carols seem all too fitting for our weary world today. I can imagine, too, that the exiled children of God during the time of Jeremiah experienced much the same weariness that these songs address. The prophet Jeremiah was not the most pleasant of persons. He was tasked with preaching and leading in a very difficult time in the history of Israel. Jeremiah did not want this call from God, and in fact, several chapters earlier than today's lectionary passage, he has some very harsh words for God, who overpowered him with the task of being the mouthpiece for God. Most of his words to the children of God call them back in repentance, exposing their sin and detailing the consequences of their selfishness and sin. No one seemed to heed Jeremiah's words. He wasn't very well liked. He was persecuted, imprisoned, rejected, he had no family, and he had a front row seat to the sins and evils of society that would make a Hollywood movie look tame. In chapter 31 of Jeremiah, we get to see a different side of the prophet, however. This little break in the book of Jeremiah is often called the book of consolation, a little reprieve of hope, four chapters of hope. These words are most likely for the exiled people of God who have been defeated, dispersed, beaten down, and left behind. Dallas Willard is known for saying that God's address is at the end of your rope, and these people were at the end of their rope. Jeremiah offers a communal word of hope to a weary people, casting a vision for healing, for a healing community where all are gathered in and renewed. In verse 8, God proclaims through the prophet, "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child, those in labor, together a great company. They shall return here." Jeremiah goes on to say that God will replace their weeping with joy and lead them by streams of water, like a good shepherd gathers and leads his flock. God will bring his children home. This is a homecoming. In contrast to the turbulent journey into exile, they will not stumble. The path will be smooth. The prophet proclaims that the Lord has redeemed them, and the picture of hope that Jeremiah paints is one of a community where those who are vulnerable are gathered in and companioned. They have left behind their former life, the life of hardship and exile, and replaced it with joy and with singing. This is a restorative community where those who have struggled through no fault of their own, the blind, the lame, the laboring woman, are nurtured into wholeness and community. The marginalized are those hurt by power. The tables have turned, and now Israel is experiencing what it means to be forgotten. They are now the ones marginalized. The hope of God's redemptive community is for the suffering, which in reality is all of us. In Jeremiah's book of consolation, God sees the suffering of his people and walks with them as a shepherd, leading them each step of the way to bounty and safety. This is a community of shalom, a community of wholeness and restored life. Jeremiah is pointing to the light, voicing a hope that they could not yet see. This same light is also in the Gospel of John, and it's described as a light shining in the darkness. The darkness does not disappear, but the light, God's light, continues to illuminate. John's gospel describes Christ as the light, our source of redemption. Darkness and light are such strong metaphors in the Gospel of John, and they give voice to the condition of our lives. Surely, Jeremiah's people of God lived in a time of societal darkness. As a people, they may have been depressed and dejected, as you can imagine anyone in exile might be. For many all around the world, this has also been a truly tough year, and for so many reasons. We don't have to search hard and long to find a long list of losses that can describe 2020. All of these outward challenges of pandemic and division and racial injustice seem to mirror an inner darkness that can be as disorienting as a pandemic. The Celtic tradition describes this inner darkness, this spiritual darkness, as a monastic disease or dis-ease, as a way of understanding the human condition of brokenness. Monastic diseases are coping mechanisms, attitudes, habits, and actions that bring dis-ease to ourselves and to others. We are often unaware of these repetitive thoughts and actions that distract us from our spiritual life and can leave us struggling under its weight. As we begin a new year, the liturgical season of Epiphany this week, it's time to consider what the light of Christ, that the light of Christ comes and what it brings to our world and to our hearts, and we can ask these questions. What darkness in our hearts and in our lives hides God's light? What are the unhealthy thoughts or beliefs that weigh us down and hinder our reception of God's life and redemption? Naming the darkness is the first step in opening our hearts to the invading, healing light of Christ. John 1 is a hymn of praise that depicts Jesus Christ as the light that reforms our inner self. Verse 3 says, "What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." And verse 12, "But to all who received him, who believe in his name, he gave the power, or the authority, to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God." Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we have a reformation and a new life. This is described even in more detail just two chapters later in John as Nicodemus questions Jesus about being reborn. This new birth signifies a reforming from the inside out. Christ, the Word become flesh, John's gospel says, lived among us and we have seen his glory. The word here for lived actually means pitched his tent, or tabernacled, giving new meaning to all of the passages about God's glory descending upon the tabernacle when the Israelites roamed the wilderness. It depicts the presence of God with them. It is a glorious mystery that the same God who formed the world came into the world to be with us, to be with you, and to be with me. We are not alone, even when we cannot see it or feel it. During the season of Advent, we spent weeks preparing for the coming of Christ. And now the season of Christmas is about opening. We may think it's about what we can give to God, but actually the clearest way to understand our response to this indescribable gift is opening our hearts to Emmanuel, to God who walks with us. This is the beginning of life with God in all its fullness. This is where our reforming takes place. In John's poetic description, the darkness does not dissipate, but it also does not overcome the light. It would be nice to think that the darkness would leave, but it doesn't. Jeremiah pointed to this light when it was hard to see, and we are called to do the same. The first chapter of the Gospel of John describes John the Baptist as testifying to the light in verse 7. And we are all called to be little John the Baptists, always pointing to the light. Theologian Karl Barth is said to have had a painting of the crucifixion hanging in his office. And in his painting, at the bottom of the cross stands John the Baptist with his finger pointing up to the cross. Barth is known for saying, "I want to be that finger." And this is also our holy calling. It is a calling for us individually and as a people. When darkness obscures the light, the people of God step in and point the way. As a church community, we can engage in spiritual practices that train us to notice the light and help us in claiming the redemption that Christ offers. We need each other. And Jeremiah makes it clear that in God's redeemed community, there's support and healing for all of us. Saint Ignatius modeled the prayer of Examine as a way to challenge the people of God to name their consolation and their desolation and invite the light of Christ into those places. This practice is particularly simple and effective habit for families to nurture together as well. As I have grieved losses in my own life, praying the Psalms has become a helpful teacher and a guide. Through the Psalms, I have learned to voice my own lament while allowing the Psalms to teach me and to guide me and to form me by nurturing the habits of gratitude and confession as I lament. The Psalms have much to teach us about honesty and discipline in our prayer life. If we were meeting here today in this beautiful sanctuary together, we might just stop for a moment as a stubborn act of hope and seeing this little light of mine. Our children know this song well, and you probably learned it as a child. But in that song, you can't hide the light of Christ under a bushel. No, and you won't let Satan blow it out. If you have children in your life, let them remind you of the hope that we have in Christ by singing this song together. So children, if you're listening, make sure you sing this song with your families today. Thanks be to God for the many ways our children lead us in realizing that this kind of stubborn hope is exactly what this year is required from us. Jeremiah cast a vision for a healing community in which no one is left behind, always pointing to the light and the hope, which can be hard to see at times. In this community of shalom, we companion each other in ways that open our hearts to God and to God's reformation and healing work in our lives. And this has come to fullness in Jesus Christ, who is our light. As a church community, we can companion each other and walk alongside of each other, pointing to the light, as John the Baptist did, and as Jeremiah did. We can do this by creating intentional space and relationships where we can each face our own monastic diseases, allowing the healing light of Christ to invade the darkness within. This is tough and vulnerable work, and it requires us to trust and to be gracious and to be honest and to be forgiving with each other. It requires that we seek God together in prayer and in small groups, always pointing each other to the perfect love of Christ. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's how much we need each other and how much we need the community of God. And it has also made abundantly clear that the light that the church has to offer is something that this world desperately needs. In this new year, may we create space for God to work in and among us, bringing about this vision of a redemptive community where all live with the assurance of God's presence and light. Let's pray together. I want to give you a moment of silence in which you can name the darkness that you recognize in your life and ask God to bring the light of Christ into that place. O Holy One, O Christ our Lord, illumine and guide us into this new year. Increase our faith and give us eyes to see the light in the darkness. Have your way in us. Help us to confess our struggles and our sins to you. Reform us from the inside out so that your light shines through us and in us, bringing about your healing community right here in this very place. With all thanks to you, Holy God, the Good Shepherd, for walking with us, bringing fullness of life through Christ Jesus. Amen.